I'd like for you to read with me from Luke chapter 14, Luke 14, verses 25 through 33. Luke 14, 25 through 33. Now great multitudes went with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother, our father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he's laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build it and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Just imagine this for a moment. What if one of your neighbors announces to you that he's going to build a tower? And you think, well, that's pretty ambitious. Let's see how that comes out. And so you watch and you see the stones laid around carefully in a circle, but you never see anything go up from there. You wouldn't have much of a tower with just the foundation. And certainly, as the parable mentions, people will begin to laugh at you. But an underestimation of the cost could result in that embarrassment for you, no doubt. Now, what is the lesson? Well, the lesson is that it's a good idea to count the cost before you start any project. A failure among many people over the years to count the cost of discipleship has resulted in many turning back from following the Lord. This same thing happened to the Lord himself in John 6, verse 66, when many of the disciples could not bear the hard sayings of Jesus. But that makes us think for just a moment. What does it cost to be a disciple of Christ? Now remember, it's important to count the cost. Well, someone says, well, that's a silly question. Why ask such a question? Well, first of all, it's because we noticed in our reading, whether one's building a tower or going into combat, it's important to see whether or not you have the ability to complete what you started. We all understand that when we have a project, we need to sit down and make a plan and make sure we can finish it. But according to what we read in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, the Apostle Peter tells us, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire." What's the lesson? Well, it's better not to have started than to turn back. That's the lesson. In Matthew 16 and at verse 24, Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, one scholar renders this, if anyone would be my disciple. But what is it that Jesus said would be the cost to be one of his disciples? Well, he went on in Matthew 16, 24, let him deny himself. Do you know self is one of the biggest problems in the world today? Self. Self divides homes. Self starts wars. And worst of all, self brings damnation upon precious souls. And you say, well, why is this? Why? Well, it's because self is arrogant. Self is presumptuous. Self-seeking. And seeking ease. That's the way self is. In fact, it prompted Christ to say in the 14th chapter of Luke in verse 33, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. That's it. Now, while you're sitting there thinking to yourself, now, how do you deny self? How do you deny self? Well, let's think about that. Let's think about it. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul makes this statement about himself. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Paul's statement here certainly doesn't mean that we must live in poverty. Because Jesus' command was not that his disciples deny themselves things. Notice that. He demands instead that we put him first in everything. Deny self. Back in the reading of Luke chapter 14, 26, we heard him say that we must hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and even our own lives if we would be his disciples. Now, let's note that it is not hatred in the sense of despising. That's not what we're talking about. It is literally loveless. We see this from a similar usage in Genesis 29, verses 30 and 31, where it says that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Yet, verse 31 says, Leah was hated. Same idea here. Leah was loved less. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37, makes this quite plain. Notice it says, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. There can be no doubt that there are some things that must be denied in order to deny self. For example, we cite the rich young ruler over in Mark 10. And he came to Jesus and he said, oh, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There's one that's good, and that's God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered Jesus and said, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth up." And Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." Now, does this mean that Jesus wants everybody to sell everything they have and follow him? Is that what he's saying? No, there was a reason for this. There was a reason for this. Notice, this young man had been keeping the law. But he had a problem. Notice in verse 22, he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions. Jesus looked around at his disciples and said, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?" That's the lesson. That's the lesson. It is not impossible, as Jesus goes on to point out, not impossible, but it's extremely difficult. The problem with the young man, he wasn't willing to deny himself. Why? We can look at it in verse 24 and find the answer. How hard it is for those who, what? Trust in riches. That is the problem. Those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's not just a matter of having riches, but putting trust in it. Well, how can we effectively deny self? Well, we go back to the Apostle Paul, to Romans 6 and verse 6, and we find out that Paul had put away the old man. How? The old man was crucified with Christ. The old man was crucified with Christ that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Or, as Paul put it in Galatians 5:24, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. But notice that Jesus went on to say, in addition to denying self, one must take up his cross. It is a requirement of all disciples that they each bear their own cross. But Luke 9:23, which is parallel to Mark 16:24, tells us that Jesus instructed them to take up their cross daily. In other words, it isn't a one-time thing that you do and you're done. It points to a continual obligation. Well, what does it mean to take up one's cross? Well, historical background to this, to make crucifixion as degrading as possible and as painful as possible, the one to be executed carried his own cross, his own means of execution, to the place of his death. It was, to say the least, burdensome and very trying on the emotions. but figuratively it denotes the way in which we must endure from day to day the things which would pull us away from Him. In reality, bearing our cross is nothing more or less than doing our duty each day. It doesn't consist of doing things intentionally to cause trouble for yourself. There are some people that they think this is the way that it ought to be done. They cause trouble for themselves, and then they say, oh, look at the cross I have to bear. Well, they bring that on themselves. But a matter of doing that which is our duty to do as His followers. And there's no doubt, we are faced with persecution. We are faced with names being called. But whenever we bear our cross, we should never become discouraged. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ, who was called Lord of the Flies or Lord of Filth in Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Think about the Apostle Paul, beaten, left for dead, but he never lost his faith in God. Finally, in our lesson, Jesus said, follow me. Now, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, what it means for us is, in Jesus' own words, that we continue in His Word. If you look at John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31, okay? John 8 and verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice that those who are abiding in His Word are truly His disciples. Not people who give Him lip service and then do whatever they want to do. We find a lot of people in the world who do that now. Oh, how I love Jesus. And then they go about their life just the way they want to. No, that isn't the way you follow Christ. That isn't the way. You must guide your life by His Word. Then you truly are His disciple. The importance of following Him is found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. You know, this is one of the reasons why we study from the Gospels. This is one of the reasons why we give attention to the life of Jesus. We want to know how He walked so we can follow Him. But in doing this, we also must be trying to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19:10, that's what Jesus said He came to do. Or as Jesus put it to His disciples in John 15 and verse 8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So, adverb of manner, so in this manner you will be my disciples. That's what is expected of us. But someone says, it's one thing to count the cost, but what exactly are you talking about? Well, in one sense, the price of discipleship is everything that you have. As in Luke 14 and verse 33, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Well, what does this mean? It means that you must be willing to sacrifice all riches, family, friends, lands, everything that it takes to follow Him faithfully. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28, Mark 10:28. Peter began to say to Jesus, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive hundredfold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Think about that. Think about it. Every sacrifice made now for Him, everyone, will be rewarded both now and in the world which is to come. That's what Jesus said. But forgot one thing. With persecutions. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what discipleship costs. But when we ask this question, there's another answer to it. You know what that answer is? Nothing at all. Absolutely free. And you're saying, okay, now that, how could this, both these statements be true? Well, look with me, if you will, at the book of Romans, chapter 6, and verse 23, where Paul says, "The wages of sin is death. But by virtue of Christ, we do not have to pay that price. Instead, we may have literally the free gift of God, which is eternal life." You see, how is this so? Well, in the institution of the Lord's Supper, which we just observed a few minutes ago, Jesus took the cup and He said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Do you get it? Christ paid the price for your sins with His blood. He already paid. Haven't been paid. Now he calls you to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and follow him. Simple as that. He told the apostles to make disciples by preaching the gospel to them. And those who believed were baptized and would be saved. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Now, with that in mind, first thing that comes to my mind is, would you become a disciple of His today, if you're not already? Why not confess your faith in Christ from a penitent heart? Be buried with your Lord in the waters of baptism today. You can do that. And we would be glad to assist you in that. But have you started to follow the Lord in his pathway of righteousness? And have you gone along? Have you gotten distracted and turned out of the way? Or maybe turn back. Don't you remember what faith is of those who turn back? Why not pick up your fallen cross and follow Him once more? I want you to listen to this and I want you to take it into your heart. Life is too lonely. And eternity is too long to face either without Him. The hymn, "Without Him, without Him, I could do nothing." I want you to think about that. And if there's anything that stands between you and being circumspect before God today, I hope you will take the action that's necessary and that you will do it before it's too late. While time and opportunity are indeed yours, we invite you and we implore you to come while we stand.